Welcome to this online interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our special guest of honor today is Mr. Jörg Niklas Prehm. He's the head of research at Töpfer Transport in Hamburg, Germany. First and foremost, Jörg, very welcome to this interview.
Yes, thank you for inviting me and having me.
Always welcome. As with most of, or I should say all of my interviewees, I always give them a chance first to tell our viewers a little bit about their background in shipping and how they got into this in the first place. So the same goes for you, Jörg. How come you are in shipping?
How come? It's somehow uncommon story. I started in IT and worked there and got somehow unhappy. And a friend of mine is a very successful multi-purpose and break bulk project broker and a well-known guy, and he introduced me. Actually, we both were voluntary firemen and met there, and he took me to some events and I liked it. So then I started. I did this German dual apprenticeship thing, and now it's almost 20 years I'm in. And I tried to do container ships for 1 or 2 years, but it was too boring for me.
Yes, I can imagine. that's an interesting way that it's all about networking, isn't it? And then suddenly you find yourself at the end of a long career. That's very impressive. Can you tell me a bit about Töpfer Transport, the history of the group? I understand you're head of research, but if we start with Töpfer as a group, what is the Töpfer Group today?
Töpfer was founded in 1974 as a ship broking and ship owning shop. These days, we are one of the largest sale and purchase and new building brokers in Hamburg. Saying Hamburg is more or less one of the headquarters of sale and purchase business. So we are very active and concentrating on niche markets. Mm-hmm. And we are very strong on mid-sized container ships. One of our main things we do is multi-purpose, heavy lift, break bulk, and both on the sale and purchase and new building side. And since we are 11 people, so we are a bit of a boutique shop and we have a special approach. And some years ago, the idea was to have a more intellectual approach. And also we saw other kinds of people entering this niche market and business. So there was a high demand for having third-party opinions on transactions. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to create this kind of added value. And that's why we are now here. We are fairly established doing analysis in the break bulk sector. And
okay. So that means reputation must be very, very important for a company like yours. I have to admit, I work in shipping myself, but have absolutely no experience in either sale or purchase or research in that way. How would you say, many of our viewers perhaps are in the same, let's say, area as I am in. When you say sale and purchase, does it mean that you match up a guy who is interested to buy a ship together with a guy who's interested to sell a ship, or how does it work? Can you play it out?
That's the way it works. We help people who want to sell their ships to sell them and to find the right buyers.
Okay.
And on the other hand, we help people who want to buy ships. It's a bit like real estate. So
I understand.
It's not that different. Same thing in new building. We help people finding the right designs. We are also closely connected to various designers and try to develop matching ship designs and then start to find shipyards willing and able to build it at suitable prices.
So we are just
intermediaries.
Yeah, I understand. But of course, it means that you must have a lot of know-how with how to find ships these days, both buyers and sellers. And now I understand, of course, when you mention in real estate, that, of course, everyone knows about when you need to change your house, or the same goes for ships. It has escaped no one that the market is very strong in shipping at the moment. And I'm also regularly receiving your research updates. Can you tell me, as a researcher, these updates that you send out, Are you subscribing to these updates, or are they some that you send out for free, or how does it work? Or is it part of a service that you sell as well?
It's a service we sell. We have subscription-based reports. People have to buy. We have some things which are free and more or less a teaser, or give a brief update on the market. If you want to have it detailed, we can. We have our periodicals, and of course we can do bespoke analysis. We have done due diligence processes for leasing houses to check if charterers are suitable, things like that. We are not a plain research house. There are a few others in MPP, maybe two. It's a small community. They have a lot of economists behind it and a lot of scientific power. Our approach is very close to the market. The people involved here in research have a long history in multi-purpose shipping and work for different companies. I was in tonnage procurement with Intermarine, with Rick Maslinia. I know most of the guys, and some of my ex-colleagues are now CEO at big carriers and things like that. So we have a very close connection. Being a broker specialized in MPP, we anyhow have to talk to anyone in the market. So we gather that information. We put some own thoughts on it, and then we are very proud that we can afford to also add our own opinion. This is something you sometimes have in research. As we are a small shop, we feel free also to say and to speak out things which are not always that comfortable to everyone.
I must say I like that approach. I mean, I try to do the same with this newsletter that I'm publishing every Thursday, not always to be politically correct, but that only you can only do that if, like you say, you have actual experience from the market or from the area which you are covering. I mean, you have really hands-on. It's not just a consultancy that tries to come up with some good opinions, but you actually know the guys and have worked in the field before.
That's the way it is. And of course, our brokers are actively in that business.
Yeah.
Of course, we learn from each other. There are certain things we have to divide clearly.
Yeah.
Because research also means that you have to keep privacy confidential.
Of course.
Confidentiality and things like that. Of course, the same thing is for the brokers. We cannot tell our research department knows a lot, but cannot tell everything.
No,
that's of also, course. Also, what do you do with even if we are not involved in transactions, we have a lot of background talks, and we try to get a bigger picture and to base our analysis on that.
Yeah, and that of course means you have a high level of solid integrity and your word can be trusted, so to speak, and that's why people come to you, I guess.
Yes, and meanwhile we have also a lot of responsibility. You know, we started this index some years ago, the MPP index, which becomes more and more important for the market.
Yeah,
that's what we get back as a feedback. There are even charter fixtures based on this. Now, well, with the rates going high, we even hear of shippers thinking about when they join tenders for the future projects in 2025, 2026. They even think about to use the index to leverage their risk on the freight rates they indicate now.
Yeah.
And then it turns out to be an important tool for many people out there. And it's our responsibility to be 100% correct in doing this, having clear, transparent rules, having a high transparency level on that. In a business, you know, multi-purpose and breakout, it's not known for high transparency, actually.
No. That's right.
And on one hand, we try to bring this with our research projects, a little bit of transparency. And on the other hand, we have to be 100% transparent because our responsibility gets higher the more the market develops.
Got it. Yes, no, I do understand. And of course, I mean, you're sitting in Hamburg as Töpfer at the moment, which is the main office, but I understand you have representatives in other parts of the world as well.
Yes, we have an office in Shanghai concentrating a lot on new buildings. And of course, this is our contact to the Chinese market and also to the shipyards out there.
Mm-hmm.
As we're actively contracting new buildings, it's good to have a strong network out there.
Definitely.
And we have a joint venture office in Singapore doing sale and purchase and also container chartering.
Okay, interesting. If I may just quickly return to the MPP market, which is basically exploded. How would you, as a professional, see the market? I mean, have the rates ever been this high? I mean, what were they before the pandemic and what are they now? Can you give our viewers who are not all, MPP specialists, some idea about the market, how it has increased and by how much?
In the past months, it's around 130%. So at the beginning of last year, our index was a little bit below 8,000. We are now, we just are above 20,000. The index is related to one very common ship types, the F type, of which 87 are out on the market. So it's the main working horse in this area.
Yeah.
Our rate we do with our index is already covered by a ship behind it, and you know what you get for that money mentioned in the index. So yes, the market exploded somehow, but it was more than necessary. It has two sides.
Right.
Of course, we have to these days be careful that it doesn't get too high, because this might cause damage. But at the end of the day, we see the fleet is aging. The average age of the MPP fleet, what we call the MPP fleet, is close to 15 years.
Right.
For some cargoes, 15-year-old ships already impose problems when it comes to getting insurance cover from the cargo.
Yeah.
We need fleet replacement. There's high demand in the market, and the rates in the past were too low to sustain the current new building prices or to sustain any kind of investment in the fleet.
Right.
And this, of course, caused the order book to be pretty small. And for the next years, we expect that the fleet supply is going down because of the aging fleet. Not enough new buildings to cover or to replace the ships which have to leave the market due to the age problem.
And just so my viewers are clear on this, when you say an index of $20,000, that means per day, right? The cost of such an F-type ship per day. I mean, that's from 8,000 to 20,000. That's, of course, quite a leap. So in your opinion, you would foresee that the market will remain quite strong, at least for the next couple of years. I mean, the backlog in building MPPs can't be solved in a few months, I suppose.
Yes, and there's still some demand. Many analysts the past months were of the opinion that this is solely caused by the overspill from the container market. It's not. We see especially high demand from wind power. Renewable energy is a big topic. And when you see how large the components are these days, it's very difficult to find suitable ships at all. We talk about nacelles, which are close to 600 metric tons. We talk about blades, which are 120 meters in length.
Yes.
So within the MPP fleet, there are very few ships which are capable to do this and to perform these jobs and then to which are suitable to carry these kinds of cargo.
You're absolutely right. I've seen it firsthand also here in Sweden, where I'm located. Ships coming in with wind turbines and the blades, and they're getting longer and longer and longer. It's absolutely incredible to think that the blades are now up to 120 meters, as you say. It's a big monster.
Yeah, just for example, they carried some blades for a testing site in Denmark. It was one of these Symphony Bridge Forward ships. Carrying three blades, which is sufficient for one windmill. And if you look at a typical offshore wind park in the North Sea, we talk about 50 to 80 windmills per wind park. So you need at least 50 shipments with these ships to carry all the blades. And that's where we are at. Now with all the elections going on here in Germany, they just increased the target for offshore wind installation by 50%. That's a target for 2030. The Netherlands increased their targets by 100%. This happened 2 months ago, and it's okay. I think the windmill manufacturers are pretty happy, but they are already, and this is what we see and feel, unhappy about the supply chain issues they face these days, and transportation will be one of the big bottlenecks we face for energy transition.
Definitely. Now, it's as they are losers, they are certainly also winners. And I can hear in the back of my mind a few glasses clinking in some places, also in Hamburg these days. Yeah. good on them. We have to also admit sometimes that when the going is good, for many years, like you said, there was simply no money to invest in new because the freight rates were low and you could shop around. And certainly, I'm sure the windmill suppliers did shop around and pushed everyone down. And now they find themselves at a loss. They can't push anyone anymore.
That's the way it is. And now they are being pushed. And then that's the cause trouble. And this you see in other fields also. It's like oil and gas. And these guys have trouble to perform. This may have a long-term impact on the market itself. So it's a dangerous situation. It's good that everyone on the ship carrier side and ship owner side is happy and earning a lot of money. I'm very happy for them, actually. Sure. After more or less some years of starving already, almost. Our opinion is also, please don't overplay it.
No, exactly. That's then there'll be regulations coming in and probably it'll turn the table. But let's see what happens. One of the final questions I have for you, York, is, we said in the beginning, tired of this COVID, but I have to, of course, ask, has COVID influenced your business at all or not? Let's say research is done whether there's COVID or not, of course. So maybe
the way we do research is close to the market. And it's, of course, it helps a lot to meet people and to talk to them. And meetings cannot replace in-person meetings.
No.
That's the way it is. Of course, our we saved a lot of money, which we usually spend in restaurants and airplanes and things like that. That's okay. As we are saying, purchase brokers and the prices and the amount of transaction went up rapidly. We are doing quite well, I can say.
Okay, great.
Also on the research side, the market also creates a lot of demand for our products. Shipping always was and always will be, and especially project cargo and multi-purpose shipping is a people's business.
Yeah.
And we have to meet.
Yeah.
And it would be much easier for us to meet people again and to even go to some of the big events.
Yeah.
The past year, there were too many events, I believe. But if you choose the good ones, it's good to do traveling and to talk to people. This is what we are missing.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Zoom and Teams in all respect, but face-to-face, of course, can never be replaced by those two. For now, I guess it's okay, but I can also sense with most of my interviewees that we can do it and so on, but it's not... people are getting a little bit tired of endless meetings online, I suppose. So let's hope we get back to normal soon.
Yeah, and then there's a big difference between having a video meeting and drinking a beer together.
Definitely, this, yeah.
Should keep it.
Yeah. That's a huge backlog there, that's for sure. Very, very, very interesting. I must say, I've learned a lot in this interview. And also, as I said in the beginning, it just shows a little bit how wide the shipping field actually is. One thing I'd like to comment on is on all what you've said with the market, that one thing at least is good now. When we don't have to explain to people who don't know what shipping is, what we do for a living, I suppose. They now have full attention for the shipping industry, right?
Yeah, this is something which will happen in the future. That's when I talk about broad renewables. So more or less, the good thing about this is that we get more and more recognized, and that this niche market and this very special niche market gets known for its importance for everyone, actually.
Yeah. And I have a feeling it started when Ever Given went aground in the Suez Canal. People started to wonder where their Samsung TV was coming from, because they were used to picking it up in the supermarket. And nobody thought about it, but it's out of something bad comes something good, for sure. But listen, York, I would like to say really many, many thanks to you for a very insightful interview and answering, let's say, all the questions that came to the top of my mind like this, and appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And thanks for the nice talk.
Definitely. And I would like to say to all our listeners, viewers and readers from around the world that this was a special interview with Mr. York Niklas Prehm, who is the head of research at Töpfer Transport in Hamburg, Germany. And stay tuned for further interviews in the near future. Thank you.